ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
अच्छा तो पंखा बंद करो। हरे कृष्णा। इलेवन ना। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 द क्रिएटिव इम्पेटस चैप्टर 9 द सुप्रीम कैरेक्टर ऑफ जड भरत वर्स नंबर 11। दिस वर्स इज इन प्रोस सो आई जस्ट रीड इट। यदा तु परत आहारम कर्म वेतंत इह माना स्वभ्रतार्भिरपि केदार कर्माणि निरूपितस्तदपि करोति किन्तु न समं विषमं न्यूनम अधिकमिति वेद कनपिन्याक फलीकरण कुलमास स्थाली पुरीसादिनी अपि अमृतवत अभ्यवरति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग यदा वेन टू बट परत फ्रॉम अदर्स आहारम फूड कर्म वेतनत इन एक्सचेंज फॉर वेजेस फ्रॉम वर्किंग यहां मान लुकिंग फॉर स्वभ्रतार्भि अपि इवन बाय हिज ओन स्टेप ब्रदर्स केदार कर्मणि इन वर्किंग इन द फील्ड एंड एडजस्टिंग द एग्रीकल्चरल वर्क निरूपित एंगेज्ड तत अपि एट दैट टाइम ऑल्सो करोति ही यूज्ड टू डू किंतु बट न नॉट समम लेवल विषमम अनइवन न्यूनम डेफिशिएंट अधिकम मोर रेज्ड इति दस वेद ही न्यू कना ब्रोकन राइस पिन्याक ऑयल केक्स फलीकरण द कैफ ऑफ राइस कुलमास वर्म ईटन ग्रेन्स स्थाली पुरीशा आदिनी बर्न्ड राइस स्टक टू द पॉट एंड सो ऑन अपि इवन अमृतवत लाइक नेक्टर अभ्यवरति यूज्ड टू ईट। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन जड भरत यूज्ड टू वर्क ओनली फॉर फूड हिज स्टेप ब्रदर्स took advantage of this and engaged him in agricultural field work in exchange for some food. But actually, he did not know how to work very well in the field. He did not know where to spread dirt or where to make the ground level or uneven. His brothers used to give him broken rice, oil cakes, the calf of rice, worm-eaten grains and burned grains that had stuck to the pot. But he gladly accepted all this as if it were nectar. He did not hold any grudges and ate all this very gladly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The platform of Paramhans is described in Bhagavad Gita 2.15. Samadukha sukham dhiram so amartatvaya kalpate. When one is callous to all duality, the happiness and distress of this material world, one is fit for amartatva, eternal life. Bharat Maharaj was determined to finish his business in this material world, and he did not at all care for the world of duality. He was complete in Krishna consciousness and was oblivious to good and evil, happiness and distress. As stated in Chaitanya Chaitamrita Antya Leela Chapter 4, Text 176. Dvaite bhadra abhadra jnana sabo manodharma e bhala e manda sababhrama. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all a mistake. One has to understand that in the material world of duality, to think that this is good or that this is bad is simply a mental concoction. However, one should not imitate this consciousness. One should actually be situated on the spiritual platform of neutrality. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 9, Verse Number 11, Translation. Jad Bharat used to work only for food. His stepbrothers took advantage of this and engaged him in agricultural field work in exchange for some food. But actually, he did not know how to work very well in the field. He did not know where to spread dirt or where to make the ground level or uneven. His brothers used to give him broken rice, oil cakes, the chaff of rice, worm-eaten grains and burned grains that had stuck to the pot. But he gladly accepted all this as if it were nectar. He did not hold any grudges and ate all this very gladly.
Hare Krishna. So in this
section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is describing the life of a Paramhamsa, in this case Bharat Maharaj. Such a life or such a behavior is very extraordinary, strange, unique. And even if one wants to, one can't imitate. One can't artificially show himself to be like Bharat Maharaj. This is such a unique behavior. So it is said that Bharat Maharaj would not be interested in any work, any material occupation. But if somebody tells him, you do this, I will give you food, then he will do that. Even though he will not know how to do it. The material world is made in such a way that everybody has to work for food. It may be a job, it may be a business, it may be begging, that is also some work, to beg. Or it may be stealing, that is also work. It involves planning, it involves resource management, it involves risk factors. Everything in the material world, everybody in the material world has to work for food. Food is not available like that. Even a lion who is the king of the jungle has to hunt. No animal in the jungle, in the forest, will come to the lion and say, since you are the king, I offer myself to you, please eat me. No, the lion will have to go for hunting and work hard and run and get a prey. And the lion will not get a hunting prey every day. So one prey, one body, the lion will eat for 1 week. And after 7 days, another hunting will happen. So this is a general criteria that everybody have to work. That's called karma. In human form of life, we should understand that our food, which we need, which is required, comes from Krishna, does not come only because of our work. There is difference between income and maintenance. Our job, our business, or teaching, or begging, or stealing is our source of income. Different individuals have different sources of income. But all individuals have only one source of maintenance, and that is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He maintains us. Our office boss does not maintain us. Our elders do not maintain us. They may become instrument, but actually we are maintained by Krishna. If there is a student in the hostel who receives every month fixed money order from the postman, who maintains him? The postman? the post office, the officer at General Post Office, GPO, then who? His father who sends the money? No, Krishna. So even if the postman, the post office, the biological father becomes the instrument, but actually he is maintained by Krishna. The father has to give needs to the son. This duty is made by whom? Krishna has made this duty. And if the father stops giving money, the student will die? No. Because Krishna will still maintain him in a different way. But if Krishna stops giving maintenance and father wants to save the child, will the son survive? No. So in human form of life, our work, our duty is to be done as obedience to Krishna. Maintenance is anyway there. If somebody thinks that only because of my work I get maintained, then what about small children? Just born child. What work he does? But he is maintained. He drinks mother's milk and he is maintained. Here people do so many jobs but they don't get pure milk. Child doesn't do anything but he gets pure milk. See this? From where does this milk come? This milk comes from Krishna. Only when a woman gives birth to a child, she has milk in her body. Otherwise, there is only blood and other things. So that means that milk came only for that child. And no scientific or biological process can convert rice, dal, sabji into milk. But Krishna has made mother's body in such a way that as soon as childbirth happens, this food which mother eats gets converted to blood and bloods get converted to milk. So this is Krishna's maintenance. He maintains everybody. So in Varnashram, in the human society, everybody should do their ashram duties as if he is obeying Krishna. Not for food. Though food is provided by Krishna, food is provided by the agents of Krishna and they instruct us to do our duty. So just like endeavor and mercy, so duty and food. We have dependence, we should do our duty. Our food is dependent on our duty, but we should understand in between this dependence there is Krishna. It is not a material law. It is not a material law, kaam karega to khana milega. There is Krishna in between. There is conscious living entity in between who maintains us. So Jad Bharat, he would not know how to work. His need of food would be exploited by his stepbrothers. They will say, you do this work in the field and we will give you food. It is a very regular tendency of a conditioned soul to exploit others, to manipulate others, to abuse others, to make others victim of their own lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion and envy. So a devotee should not exploit others and should not get exploited also. Not that a devotee is coward. A devotee should not abuse others and should not get abused also. should be intelligent and expert enough to make sure that his energy, his body is utilized only in Krishna's service. Not get abused and victimized by somebody's sense gratification in the name of surrender. The greatest abuse can happen only in the relationship where there is greatest vishwas, where there is greatest faith. If there is no faith, how faith will be broken? So a devotee should be careful. We should not exploit others and we should not get exploited also. A general instruction. Jadbharat case is special. So his stepbrothers would exploit him, would get him, give him lots of work. And what will they give him to eat? Burned rice, broken rice, chaff of rice, or rice which is eaten by worms, stale other food which they will not consume. But then on his part, Jadbharat also will not be performing nicely in his work. Not because of this, but he was inexperienced. They will tell him to level the field, but he will not know what is high, what is low. He'll put dirt here, he'll not put dirt here, uneven level. So he would not be able to perform. In spite of all this, whatever he gets for eating, he will be happy. He will eat as if he is eating nectar. Jadbharat will not complain, will not grudge, because he was not eating for the tongue. So this kind of behavior is a behavior of a paramhamsa, a person who is beyond the material modes, a person who is beyond happiness and distress, liberated. This is not an ordinary behavior. The spirit soul, when comes to the material world, is called conditioned. Conditioned means there is some other force which has influenced the natural activity or natural behavior of the spirit soul. That is called conditioned. So there is soul, and the symptom of soul is consciousness. Just like sun, we all sitting here know sun is there on the top. But we have not seen that sun globe, probably. I don't know how many. I didn't see the sun globe today. But I know sun is there. How do I know? Because I see. Full stop. If sunlight is not there, how will I see? You're correct. Because I see sunlight. Sunlight is symptom of sun. But even my seeing is symptom of sun. Because if sunlight is not there, it will be dark. I can't see. Somebody says, "Arre, jhumar hai na itna acha. Tube light hai." But even that light comes from sun. Any case, as of now, the proof that sun is there is the symptom of sun, which is sunlight. In the same way, the proof the soul is there is a symptom of soul, which is consciousness. Sun is at one place in the universe, but the symptom sunlight is all over the universe. In the same way, soul is at one place in the region of the heart, but the symptom consciousness is all over the body. And how do we know the consciousness exists? Because there is experience of pain and pleasure. This table will not have experience of pain and pleasure. So there is no consciousness in this table. Gross matter. But this body has experience of pain and pleasure, so behind there is consciousness. So there is soul and there is consciousness pervading all over the body. Then there is subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego. This subtle body covers the soul. And then there is gross body. This covers the subtle body. And outside this body is environment, which in total we call material world. Now this material world is a reflection of the original spiritual world. But it is a perverted reflection. Perverted means that from the original to the reflection, two things happen. Something gets added and something gets subtracted. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is the center that gets subtracted and we become the center. We think we are the center. And because of this, duality gets added. There is no duality in the spiritual world. Everything is one, absolute, absolute world, absolute truth. But in the material world, this duality gets added. So, all experiences we have in material world also have the dual counterpart. Black, white, male, female, happiness, distress, good, bad, true, false, everything. Cold, summer, cold, heat. So this is duality, extremes. This get added in the material world. There is no duality in the spiritual world. Fast, slow. So our understanding of this material world depends on duality. There is no absolute truth. If I say there is a car going 40 km per hour, is it fast or slow? Tell me, fast or slow? Slow? Wrong question. If you are standing at the bus stop, it is fast. If you are sitting in aeroplane, it is slow. So this question is wrong. Because fast or slow, these are relative terms. They depend on the observer. If the observer has a slower speed, then the car is fast. If the observer has faster speed, and the car is slow. So fast, slow is relative truth. It is not absolute truth. It depends on who is observing. Beauty, ugly is relative truth. Somebody say Aishwarya Rai is beautiful. Somebody will say the pig is beautiful. You ask some male pig who is beautiful. He will tell you the female pig is beautiful or beauty queen is beautiful. It depends on who is seeing it. Right? So even beauty is relative. Fast, slow, good, bad is also relative. If I say this boy is good, somebody says no, bad. Relative. This sabji is good. Acha nahi bana, bad. It's relative. Everything is relative. 1 plus 1 is equal to 2 is also relative. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, relative. The the length of this table is 2 meters. This is also relative. There is no absolute truth in this material world. Absolute truth is understood only in 3 phases. Brahm, Paramatma, Bhagwan. Everything else is relative. So any experience in this material world is clear to us only if there is dual experience. I'll understand what is cold only if I also experience what is hot. I'll understand what is black only if I also experience what is white. I understand what is happiness only if I also experience what is distress, what is profit, what is loss, what is honor, what is insult. So every living entity in the material world undergoes experiences of duality. Now, as I said, this material world is full of duality, and there is jiva in the subtle and gross body. As the material dualities vary, as the condition of the material world vary, like now the climate is varying. Morning it was little cooler, now it will be warmer. So the condition is varying. And a conditioned soul, the condition is varying, so the experience is varying. Now, as the experience is varying, our response to that experience, the conscious response, also varies. So, if it is cold in the morning, I'll wear a sweater and socks. By afternoon, I'll remove the sweater and socks. Night, again, I'll take a kambal. So, as the condition varies, accordingly, the experience varies, accordingly, my response varies. This is natural. When a living entity becomes liberated in the material world, like Jad Bharat, Param Hamsa, so the condition will vary for him. The experience will also vary, but his response is neutral. This is amazing, and that is what is being described in this section. That there is happiness and there is distress. And generally in the case of happiness, a living entity's response is joy and maintaining that happiness. And in case of distress, a living entity wants to remove that distress. But Jad Bharat's response to both happiness and distress was same. He was not trying to maintain the happiness. He was not trying to remove the distress. In fact, he was not doing both. For both. He was not doing both responses for both experiences. That is called neutrality. Whether it's cold or warm. Whether it's happiness or distress. Whether it's honor or insult. Whether somebody offers me a garland or slaps me. I am neutral. I don't give response. That is Paramamsa. That is also a stone. A stone doesn't give response, cold or hot, garland or slap. So Paramamsa is a stone? No. Sometimes devotee thinks, sadhu means stone. He should not get angry, he should not do this, he should not do this, he should not laugh. There's a difference. A Paramamsa or a devotee will still have the experience of pain and pleasure. The experience will be there. But he chooses to remain steady in his duties, remain steady in Krishna consciousness, does not respond. A sadhu will be sensitive to others. Not that he'll become a stone. In fact, as somebody serves Krishna, he develops more and more soft qualities. Not that he becomes hard-hearted. He becomes more and more soft-hearted. He develops compassion. He develops merciful attitude. He develops kindness. He becomes charitable. He becomes tolerant. He is forgiving. These are all soft qualities, not hard qualities. Because as one comes in contact with Krishna, Krishna is soft. So the devotee also becomes soft in his heart. He has this hard knowledge that I am not this body. This material world is dukkhalayam. But his heart is very soft for others. Krishna, he eats makhan. And makhan is very soft. Real makhan, if you have a bowl of makhan, and you put your, not put, you touch your finger on the surface, your finger will go inside. That is softness of makhan. That's why Krishna eats makhan. Krishna can as well eat curd. Krishna can as well steal yogurt. Then morning churning effort of gopis would be saved if he steals yogurt. But gopis have to churn for Krishna to steal because yogurt is hard as compared to butter. Butter is soft. Krishna likes soft objects. So if we want Krishna to steal our heart, then our heart should be soft. Soft heart means soft qualities. If our heart is hard, then Krishna will say, I'll steal later, not now. So we should keep our heart soft. So we should imbibe these qualities, which gradually develop by the process of devotional service. Just like this nice rose petals, if you touch these rose petals, they are so soft. If you take all these rose petals in your hand and go to Golok Vrindavan and offer it to Lord Shri Krishna, what will happen? He will feel pain. This will pierce like needle. His body is so soft. As if thunderbolts are being thrown on him. His body is so soft. The gopis say this, that when Lord Shri Krishna walks barefoot on the Vrindavan forest, in the Vrindavan forest, they feel pinch in their heart that there are pebbles, there are thorns, there are sand particles. The gopis fear keeping Krishna's lotus feet even on their own breast. Why? It will hurt his soft lotus feet. That is a softness. So the soft qualities we should develop. So a sadhu is not a stone. A Paramahamsa liberated person is not a stone. He has the experience of pain and pleasure, but he is neutral. Why is neutral? Because he is determined that this life, I just have to serve Krishna. I don't have to respond to these things. I am busy in Krishna's service. That is higher taste. When Govardhan, Krishna lifted Govardhan hill, there was so much rain. One drop of rain during that period was like one bucket of water directly on Govardhan. Then winds, breeze, hailstorms, ice cubes, and Indra threw thunderbolt on Govardhan. Indra's thunderbolt is very hard. It can break open mountains. Such a big Govardhan, so many thunderbolts Indra attacked with, threw. But Govardhan didn't feel any hardness. In spite of so much thunderbolt, Govardhan didn't feel any hardness. Why? Because such a big mountain, below that mountain, there was very small, soft finger. The touch of that soft finger, that experience of softness was so high that thousands of thunderbolts' hardness was nothing. So if you have two experiences, so that experience which is higher in measurable quantities will supersede. So the softness of Krishna's finger was higher than thunderbolt of Indra. So he didn't feel this hardness. Imagine somebody gives you 20 kg box, carry this. for a few kilometers. Initially it may be okay, but gradually we'll feel, oh my God, too much. Muscles are paining. Right? But somebody gives, this box contains 20 kg gold free for you. And you are carrying it. Will there be any hardness in the heart? There will be hardness in the body, but heart will be delighting. Planning, what will I do next? Because there is a more heavier experience in the heart. So outside things don't matter. That was Judd Bharar's inner life. Inside he was so much absorbed in Krishna, such a heavy, powerful experience with Krishna, that outside things doesn't matter. See this, right? So Judd Bharat, even though outside there was happiness, material happiness, and there was material distress, people were insulting him, some were praising him, some were loving and affectionate him, some were rejecting him, but it doesn't matter to him. Why? Because inside he was very heavy experience. That's why I say this can't be imitated. There is no experience in outside and there is no experience inside, and outside I am making a show. How long this can be imitated? Some people do imitate this to attract followers, but one should not do that. Advancement is not for advertisement. Advanced devotee will not advertise. And if somebody is advertising, that means he is not advanced. So both the groups don't advertise. So it is not for public show. This is a personal victory, private victory. I am advanced, or I control my senses, or I chant nicely, is my private affair. It is not for advertisement. Not that you make a pamphlet and tell everybody, or you show by external symptoms. So just to attract cheap followers or donation or respect or garlands or obeisances or claps, some people imitate these paramahamsas. Like we saw in the example of Rishabhdev, one king started imitating him and started a concocted religion called Jain religion. So one should not imitate this. In Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita it is said that all these dualities are born out of illusion. Illusion means we are away from Krishna. If we don't know our life's goal is Krishna, in the absence of this goal, whatever things we consider as favorable or unfavorable, good and bad, is called illusion. Like if somebody has to travel and is given two options, car 40 km per hour, another car 60 km per hour, and he is told, select one. Which will he select? ...60 km/h. That is good. That is bad. But both are wrong. Because it depends on the destination. If the 60 wala is going to Madras and 40 wala is going to Delhi, and your destination is Delhi, then which is good? 40. So unless the destination is known, there is nothing called good and bad. And if both are not going to your destination, both are bad. So if our destination is clear, then only there is something called good and bad. Otherwise there is nothing called good and bad. So in illusion, when goal of life is not clear, whatever is good and bad, that is also illusion. Right? And if goal of life is Krishna, then where there is Krishna, there is no illusion. There is no meaning of good and bad. Everything is good. So this is Brahm. This is illusion. This doesn't have any meaning. But we are not on that platform. We should not artificially imitate or think ourselves on that platform. We are on the platform of discrimination. We are on the platform where we know the goal, but we are not perfect. So as per the scriptures, we should remain in mode of goodness. So with respect to mode of goodness, there is something good and bad, and favorable, unfavorable. That we should accept. what is favorable to devotional service should be accepted and what is unfavorable should be rejected. A perfect devotee will not be doing this. But we are not perfect. We should not artificially think ourselves perfect. We should not think ourselves great. Mera Bharat Mahan, me Kashala Lahan. I am also Mahan. No, we are Lahan. We are Ghan. So we should not think ourselves artificially great. We are very minute sparks of Krishna in sadhana bhakti, just started our sadhana. So we should discriminate between what is favorable to devotional service and what is unfavorable to devotional service practically, and we should accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. So this stage of beyond dvandva, beyond duality, very great stage. It is for us to understand how Jad Bharat is on that stage or great devotees are in that stage. But practically we apply it in our life. We choose things which are favorable to Krishna consciousness or choose things which are in mode of goodness and reject unfavorable things and reject other things. This is how a person should continue devotional service. In any case, our devotional service should be steady. Whatever experiences we have, we should make sure our sadhana is steady. Srila Prabhupada, when he traveled all over the world, he got so much garland, so much respect, so much obedience, so much obeisances, but he also got criticism. Once in Madras, Srila Prabhupada gave lecture, so among the audience there was one of God brother of Prabhupada. After the lecture, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada, saying that, "My dear Swamiji, please tell me, are your disciples actually enthusiastically in love of Godhead, chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, or they are still only imitating?" Because he saw the kirtan of foreigners. Then he said, "Are you free from ego because you use the word I and my?" Prabhupada said, "I challenge the atheist," or something like that. Prabhupada has used I and my in that way. And he says, "My dear Swamiji, why are you sitting on a cushion? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never sat on a cushion. So are you free from material comforts? Why are you using gold rings and wristwatch? And is there any divinity in your personality?" So much criticism he wrote in this letter. Prabhupada read this letter, he felt pain. But next day he gave his lecture in Madras. That is steadiness. Even Arjuna, after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, he didn't become stone-hearted. When his son Abhimanyu died, he felt pain. He cried for it. That is natural affection. He didn't remember Deosminyata De Kaumaram Yomanam Jara. He cried for it, but next day morning he was ready for his fight. So there may be so many experiences in our life, but we should be steady. Next day, our chanting, our sadhana, our service should be done. Our duty should be performed. So that is the main crux of steadiness. The main thing is not that I will not have experience of pain. I will be stone. There will be uthal putal in the mind. But my duty, I will be performing. My devotional service to Krishna, I will be performing. That is called steadiness in devotional service. Because that is born out of steady faith. Not steady experience. How can somebody have a steady experience in the world of duality? There will be dual experiences. There will be pain and pleasure. Even if somebody goes to Krishna and says, "Look, you are not Bhakta Vatsalya," he will have pain in his heart, somebody says this. But he will continue his duties. So, pain will be there. But we should be steady. Steady in devotional service. And that is how we will be successful in Krishna consciousness. Determined and steady. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can take. Mike?
Yeah. In our general world, when we show meekness, the people take it as our weakness. So should we try to overpower them or avoid them or bear with it?
If we have weakness, it will be visible. How much we will hide?
No, meekness means humbleness. If we show humbleness, people take it as our weakness, that we are weak, so that's why we are humble or agreeing or obedient. Like.
So let them take it. We are following Krishna. Krishna has told, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Iva Shaishuna, be humble, be tolerant. We do that. We are not here to please people. We are here to please Krishna. So if Krishna tells us to do something, we should do that. If by being humble it helps our devotional service, we should be humble even with non-devotees. But if by having a behavior by which our devotional service is affected, then we can, quote-unquote, be aggressive to protect our devotional service. So the whole point is devotional service should be protected. And in general, humility and tolerance protects devotional service. So we should do that. Okay?
Okay.
Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Very enlightening class regarding Paramahansas, how they act. And we have to determine our services. Prabhuji, my query is that you told that soul is covered and different layers is there in the bodily also and in the, you said, you know, sky and all this. So my question is that how long time the soul takes to transfer to Golok, because I heard that each layer is bigger than seven times.
How much time the soul
will take to transfer when he leaves his body? So Krishna Santa Kaleche Mameva.
Which soul?
Our spirit.
You are talking about liberated person? After liberation, how much time it takes?
Before liberation? No. When he leaves body.
If somebody is entitled to go to spiritual world, it doesn't take any time. As soon as soul is liberated, he is beyond time. He doesn't require a watch. There is no time. He is there. Like Narad Muni left his material body and accepted spiritual body simultaneously. There is no time required. Unless Krishna wants him to perform some service, there is no time required.
Is it like dreams finish and...
Yeah.
And Prabhuji, second thing is... There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, it says, na tad bhatya suryo, na sasanko na pavaka. Over here you said, there is a real relative, but in spiritual there is no duality. So how come Krishna said, you know, the sun and light and darkness, which he said, is it?
See, the duality which we experience here, and the extremities which devotees experience in spiritual world, they are of different nature. Here the duality is because of the composition, cold, hot, black, white. There the variety is because of leela. There also moon will come, sun will come, darkness, night will come, day, night will come. But there it's because of pastime. It's not because of the nature of spiritual world to have duality. There everything is satchit ananda. Right? So the experience is same. Even in cold or hot, you feel still joyful. Even in black and white, you are still joyful. It's satchit ananda, always ananda. So here there is difference. So this, in the material world, there is duality because of its inherent nature. There it is not called duality, it is called varieties. And varieties exist because of pastimes. Krishna wants to have Ras Leela, so instead of sunlight, there will be moonlight. Nice breeze will be flowing. And Krishna wants to tend the cows, so it will be sunlight. So we will say, udhar bhi day night hai, idhar bhi day night hai. But here the day-night is forced on us. And there it is as per the pastime. It is pleasurable both. Here the modes are varying. There are no modes. So there are natural varieties. Okay? So we can't compare those, even though it looks same.
Prabhuji, one more thing you said. Everything has been taken care by Krishna. But especially Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, that my devotees has been, you know, personally taken care by internal potency. So how you said, you know, the karmi is also taken care by, because Maya, Durga Devi is actually taking care of, you know, how punishing.
Fine, you tell me who is taking care of karmis. if Krishna is not?
External energy.
On behalf of Krishna only, no? External energy gets food from where? Krishna only provides everything. External energy is Krishna's agent. So agent is taking care, actually Krishna is taking care. Paramatma is, Krishna is sanctioning inside as Paramatma. Krishna is overseeing, Krishna is witnessing. Upadrishta, Anumantacha, Krishna is enjoyer. Everything is Krishna. Paramatma is there. Right? So mother personally feeds the baby or cooks and keeps it in the table, eat this. Both is mother only. Even though he eats with his own hands. So Krishna personally cares, personally feeds, or arranges in the field, eat this. Both is Krishna only, no? Okay?
Prabhu, yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
How much time it takes for a devotee to reach the liberation stage itself?
There is no time. It is variable. It depends on one's sadhana, kripa. There is variable. Can't be said that one devotee will take this much. Can't even make average. There is no statistics available to make average. The potency of devotional service is such that it can happen immediately. But our conditioning is such that we will not allow it to happen immediately. We will not surrender to Krishna immediately. If you just go to Radha and say, I am yours, finish. We are liberated. I am yours, but now I have appointment, I will come later. Then it will take time. Okay?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, we'll end here. You have a question, Manish? You have a mic already? Okay, not for us.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I had one comment. You said that like in Krishna Leela there is this sun and the moon. Like when Krishna goes to herd the cows, then the sun comes, and when at night time when Krishna wants to perform Ras Leela, then the moon is there. But as far as I understand, that's only in the Bhom Vrindavan. But in the Golok Vrindavan, this sun and the moon actually is not there. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Natad Bhasate Surya Na Shashanko Na Pavagaha. So like that.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says sun, moon and electricity are not the sources of light. He doesn't say they are not there. He says they are not the sources of light. Because spiritual world is self-illuminating. So they are there for adding Krishna's pastime pleasure, giving pleasure to Krishna. Here we are dependent on them. Heat and light comes from the sun. There the spiritual world's existence is not dependent on any external agent. So they are not the sources of light. They are self-illuminating, spiritual world. But sun, moon is there to serve Krishna. Moon god, sun god, they want to serve Krishna. They don't want, so their counterparts are there. They serve Krishna. Everything is there, but for service of Krishna.
Yes, you are correct, but it is also said that is Chintamani Dham, like it is self-illuminated. So I am still doubtful whether sun and moon have to do anything over there.
Fine, we'll find out a verse and give you. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.